I think during, like, our time, the last couple weeks, I think what I'm seeing, what I'm experiencing as pastor is I'm seeing an obedience level go to a whole new level in so many people's lives, where people are saying, you know what, I am made for more, and I'm hearing what you're saying, God, I'm going to do those things. The part, obviously, Bill, that stood out to me is the faith that you had to have to come out to a group of people who has just been told that she's going to pass within an hour, and you had to say, everything's going to be okay. And I'm sure you heard some choice words right then, and you had to walk in that faith. To me, is the most incredible. Let's pray. We're going to dive right in. God, thank you for today. God, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. God, to declare your promises, to go deeper. God, to hear what you are speaking, what you are saying, the word of the Lord is saying. Pray that you would give us ears to hear today what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. God, we need your help. God, we are dependent on you. God, we need you. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have a Bible, Acts chapter 27, we'll go there in a second. In Acts 28, you can hold both of those. I read a parable this past week of a farmer who owned an old mule. The mule fell into the farmer's well, and after carefully assessing the situation, the farmer sympathized with the mule, but decided that neither the mule nor the well was worth the trouble of saving. Instead, he called his neighbors together and told them what had happened, and he enlisted their help to haul dirt to bury the old mule in the well and to put him out of his misery. Initially, the old mule was hysterical, but as the farmer and his neighbors continued shoveling the dirt and it hit his back, a thought struck the mule. It suddenly dawned on him that every time a shovel load of dirt landed on his back, he would shake it off and step up. This he did, blow after blow, shake it off, step up, shake it off, step up. He repeated to do this to himself. No matter how painful the blows or how distressing the situation seemed, the old mule did not panic. He just kept shaking it off, stepping up. It wasn't long before the old mule, battered and exhausted, stepped triumphantly over the wall and out of the well. What seemed like it would bury him actually helps him, all because of the manner in which he handled the adversity. And to me, that's a picture of life. The adversities will come, and they will try to bury us. But we usually benefit from those adversities. Hear me today. Here's what I'm saying to you, and you have to hear this. You have to hear this, but you also have to hear the rest of what I'm going to say today. I'm not as concerned as what is happening to you, but how you're responding to what's happening to you. I could be a bearer of bad news today. You will have adversity. You will have struggle. Life will happen to you. We're all born into this crazy, chaotic world that we live in, and crazy things are going to happen. And they're all different. Just like when you come to church, every single one of you, you get something completely different out of the message than the person next to you. Just like every single one of you, you have all different levels of comfort in this place. Some of you are hot right now. Some of you are cold right now. Come on. Some of you are adding clothes from the car. Some of you are taking it off. Why? Because you're at all different places. You're at a different place today. And maybe you're at a high adversity place. Maybe you seem like you can't catch a break. Maybe it seems overwhelming today. How are you responding? Maybe in this place you're like, life is actually good. Man, this is the best Thanksgiving season I've ever. Man, I can't wait for. Life is awesome. Good for you. Good for you. It could change in an instant if If you respond to your situation, to your adversity in bitterness or anger, I'm just telling you, you will make the situation more than it ever was intended to be. And so this is what we're going to talk about today. Acts chapter 27. Some of you are wanting to leave right now. I know Scott Tepper in the back doesn't look very big, but he could take you. He could take you as he's coming to his seat right now. Derek's in the back. He could take you. And Derek's looking around going, what did I just enlist myself in? Derek's in the back. If you're trying to leave, Derek, he can handle you. He's a big teddy bear, but he could handle you. Verse 23. For last night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me, and he said, don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. That's fun to hear. Hey, Paul, don't worry about this. The storm that you're in, you're going to stand trial. It's going to happen. You're getting to Rome. What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God. It will be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island. Fun stuff. Thanks, Jesus. This is awesome. Glad I'm going through what I'm going through. Hey, Paul, don't worry. You're a prisoner. Yes, you're going to get it to Rome. You're going to be able to say what you need to say. You're going to stand trial before Caesar. But before you get there, you're going to get shipwrecked. Adversity. 28, verse 1. Once we were safe on the shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. The people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built us a fire on the shore to welcome us. And as Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake driven out by the heat bit him on the hand. The people of the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to each other, a murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live. But Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. The people waited for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided he was a god. I love this. Near the shore where we landed was an estate belonging to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us and treated us kindly for 3 days. And as it happened, his father was ill with fever and Dyson, thank you. Paul went, GC. Granite City Education. Anyway, Paul went in, and you guys may not believe this, but I listened to the Bible app on how they say it. The problem for me is it's on Australian woman voice. I mean, I'm not going to say how it sounds, but so is Siri. All right, anyway. Paul went in and prayed for him, and laying his hands on him, he healed him. Then all the other sick people on the island came and were healed. Have you ever been in situations where you're traveling one place and you don't end up there? Or maybe you end up there and it took you longer than you thought, or didn't go as you thought it was going to go? A lot of people say like a vacation. You go on a vacation and it rains the whole 7 days. You go on vacation and it takes you longer because you got a flat tire, or your car broke down, or whatever the situation. But it didn't go as you thought it was going to go. Maybe your Malta is a place you never planned on landing. Maybe it's a situation you never saw coming. Maybe it's a termination from a work that you never expected. Maybe it's a job change. Maybe it's a relationship problem. Maybe it's a sudden sickness or a death. It could be a wide variety of things. But when you land there, again, here, Paul, he's preaching the gospel. He ends up in jail. He becomes a prisoner, and he's blamed for a crime he did not commit. You and I have a problem with being blamed for things that you and I do. Much less he's a prisoner for preaching what I'm doing to you today. This is why he's a prisoner. He is not a prisoner because he committed a felony crime and he's under persecution for that. So before we start labeling our situations with Paul's situation, it's not even the same. You and I, hate to say this, we've never been persecuted. Well, there's this one time where a coworker said really mean things to you. Well, it's because you are that. That's why she said it. Anyway, that's a whole nother thing. He was on board a ship, but for 2 weeks he was lost at sea. How are you responding to that? 2 weeks just floating out in the middle of the island, in the middle of the water. I mean, 2 weeks. It's not like he has GPS. It's not like he has proper lighting. Everybody is freaking out, and he's in the middle just floating, just wondering. You and I would go crazy after an hour. 2 weeks. He's caught in a storm. Bad decision by the shipmate or by the captain. But he's going to Rome. You're going to end up there, and you're going to stand trial. Awesome. In the midst of all this chaos and confusion, there's one thing that brings Paul peace. It's the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord says, Paul, this is going to happen, but I'm in control. You and I need to hear this today. God is in control. So I don't think you believe me. God is in control. He is in control of what is happening. And in the midst of all of this chaos, we need to hear that he is in control. Verse 44 of 27. And the others, love this, 200 passengers. Others held on to the planks or the debris from the broken ship. And so everyone escaped safely to the shore. They ended up on this island. And it says that where they ended up today is called St. Paul's Harbor. Because so many believe Christianity flourished on this island because Paul ended up there. See, you and I think we're shipwrecked and we're there by accidents, by chance. But God says, what if my plan all along was to put you on the island of Malta? And when you're on this island, I can then do something incredible. You never planned it. Why? Because you can't take credit for it. If you can take credit for it, then why do you need Jesus? If you could do it on your own, it says they end up on this island and it flourished. See, you and I, in being made for more, we want to be people of influence. You want to be a person that goes into your work and you want to be a person of influence. You want to go to your school and you don't want to just have a Momentum Youth Convention encounter. And so the Sunday after convention, you're sitting on the front row and some of you are like so mad right now that you're sitting there. I do spit when I talk. That's why your parents don't sit here. This is your friends to be seating section. Okay? You want your friends to be influenced by the power of the cross, by the power of the gospel. You want to be that. And to me, your influence depends on how you respond to what happens to you. See, you and I, we try to avoid adversity. The captain tried to avoid being shipwrecked. And God says, no, 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 no. Watch how I use this shipwreck. We don't want God to use shipwreck. We want God to lay out nice plans. God, make it as easy as possible. God, make it as smooth as possible. You know that you don't get from A to B unless A sometimes doesn't go as you thought it should go. Suddenly, how do you respond to the suddenly? Here's what Paul decides. Serve others. In the middle of the adversity, Paul, while they're building him a fire, Paul is still serving. He's serving by gathering sticks. Come on, somebody. I should be in Rome right now declaring I'm innocent, but instead I'm in the island of Malta. Instead of sulking, instead of being mad, instead of being bitter, he's serving. The prisoner is serving the people on the ship. He's not serving the people that lived on the island. He's serving the people he was in prison with. What if instead of complaining about your coworker, instead of complaining about your classmate, what if you started serving them? And maybe they don't change, but how you view them will change. Jesus said, if. He said, among you, it must be different. This, he's talking to the church. He's telling the church, hey, among you guys, it's got to be different. First and foremost, you belong to Christ, it's got to be different. You've got to be different. Our scenarios have to be different. It doesn't make sense. Whoever wants to be leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom. Listen, serve your way out of whatever it is that you're complaining about. You don't understand how my coworkers are. Serve them. Be nice to them. You don't understand how my parents are being. They're so unreasonable. They don't even get me. They are so old. They don't understand what it's like living in my day and age. Serve your parents. Come on, parents, where you at? Like, that should have been the biggest amen ever. Like, husband awake and everything. Like, what's going on? Serve your way out of whatever is on your mind that you're complaining about. You want your kids to become better? Serve them. You want your boss to view you different? Serve your boss. He's unreasonable. Yep, and you're being unreasonable too. Among you, it should be different. Second thing is, hardships increase influence. This is fun to hear. Paul is performing a good deed, and he gets bit. This is usually where you and I go, why, God? I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to be different. I'm trying to choose better friends. I'm trying to have better relationships. I'm trying to do all these good things, and you do this to me. Why, God? Why, when I'm doing good, do I have to be bit? See, as Haley said in the video, this is where you find out who you really trust in. This is where you find out what is really going on. See, because here's what I believe. Trials combined with a godly response always increase our influence for Jesus Christ. See, how you respond, the Bible didn't say, and Paul became distraught, and Paul became very frustrated, and Paul got so mad. When hardship happened, what did he do? He shook it off. He shook it off. See, some of you have not let go of certain things, and you need to shake it off. You've been looking at everybody else as if they're the problem, but let's be real today, you're the problem. You're looking at a relationship as this is what so-and-so did to me, but here's the reality. It's still going on because you refuse to shake it off. You can either view this as an opportunity to glorify Jesus or to stay stuck in whatever it is that you're stuck in. And you get to determine what you learn and how long you got to stay there. This is why it bothers me when people say, well, 2 years ago, so-and-so did this to me. Get over yourself enough to realize you've not shaken it off. I know what they did to you was wrong, but the longer you keep talking to your friends about, the more you're going to stay in that spot. You don't understand. You know what? I don't care. I don't care what they've done. That's not even the issue anymore. In fact, here's what I would say. Take a look at what they did to you and figure out what is true with what they've said about you. Because there's an element of truth in there. When anybody comes to me and say, I have this against you, I listen. You know why I listen? Because there's an element of truth of what they're saying. I have to determine what the truth is. I may not like how they say it. I may not like the words that they use. But is there an element of truth? You guys have heard me say this. If my zipper is down right now, and you look at me and you laugh and you say, oh my gosh, your zipper's down, you idiot. Or if my daughter comes up and whispers, Dad, you're embarrassed me, your zipper's down. Both people have revealed a truth. The truth is revealed. You and I just don't like how that truth is revealed. But the truth is revealed. So you're hung up on being offended by how they said it, but not what was said to you. You need to hear what people are saying to you. You need to shake it off. Come on, you need to stop it. And here's the problem. Here's the biggest problem. You and I don't surround ourselves with people enough that will tell us to stop it. Start surrounding yourself with a real friend that's going to tell you what's really going on so that you can be a person that doesn't stay in the spot that you're in, questioning why everybody else is growing but you. You know why? Because you still got a snake on your arm. Well, I got another one, I guess. I can use this one. And we take that into relationships and we still got a snake dangling. No, I'm not getting snakes out, folks. Don't get worried. Oh my gosh, we're becoming that church. We're going to start passing around snakes. What's going on? I don't want to lose half our congregation. Or statistically, 30%. Anyway. Hear this. Paul was a nobody. He was a prisoner. He was a nobody. You know why Paul got to the top? You know why Paul became the man? Because Paul decided to serve and because Paul shook it off. He went from that guy's a murderer to that guy being a god. Why? Why did he go? Both are wrong. Both are wrong. Won't deter you. When people call you whatever they do, don't let that deter you. But when people elevate you, don't let that also deter you. Both were wrong, but one opened a door. Because he wasn't one, it opened the door for him to reveal who he really was. Third thing, remain faithful. Remain faithful. Paul was unchanged through it all. Paul later told Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3, he said, evil people and imposters will flourish. Hear this. Evil people and imposters will flourish. Does that ever bother you? When wrong people flourish? Immoral people flourish? How do they always seem like they're making so much more money than us? They seem so much more happy because imposters and evil people are going to flourish. But what's he say to them? They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived, but you must remain faithful to the things that you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know that you can trust those who taught you. He's later told Timothy, preach the word, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth. They'll chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. He's saying, remain faithful. Remain consistent. Don't waver just because you've been snake bitten. Don't waver just because a handful of people call you a murderer. Don't waver just because a handful of people also call you a god. One week they were saying, praise the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. The next week they were saying, crucify him. What was the main point? Jesus remained consistent. It didn't change when the court of public opinion changed, and it will change. People will love you one day and they'll hate you the next. You better just get used to that. Last thing. Everyone said amen? Oh, now I get you shouting. I got you. Use the gifts that God has given you to change people. I know we've talked about this. We're not having you do a spiritual gift test just so we can put it on our website. Just so we could put a name to a gift or a face to a gift. We're putting this so that people will be changed. Paul, when he gets to the castle, so to speak, when he gets in front of the chief of the island, he then uses his gifts. What happens? Oh, your dad's ill? Let me just go in and pray for him. Let me just pray. And as he prayed, his father is healed. And then he says, who else is sick? And it says, part of the island. No. It says, every person that was sick was healed. Why? Because Paul allowed a snake bite not to rattle him, and he shook it off. And when they called him a murderer, and when they called him a god, he didn't listen to what they say because he knew who he was. He knew he was a son of Almighty God, and he walked then into the place where he was elevated, and he didn't get cocky. He didn't get conceited. It says he was with this chief for 3 months. First 3 days as he's praying, he didn't take a vacation. I would have a tendency to go, I'm going to sit back and relax a little bit on this island. Because I shook off the snake, now I can enjoy some beach time. Come on, some of you are thinking the same thing. You heard Island of Malta and you're like, ooh, cocktail, ooh, man. Fruity drink with an umbrella. That's what you were thinking. You heard island. You were thinking island hunters. Ooh, I'd like to have me an island. Listen, let's be real. None of you can afford to buy that island, so you might as well use your influence for Jesus to get access to that island. Paul used his gift, and the gift that he had was to walk in healing. And it wasn't Paul that was doing the healing. It was Jesus that was doing the healing. All I know is that when I read, it says everybody sick on the island was healed. Why? Because things change when you use the gift that God has given you. And if you don't know what the gift is, guess what you're doing? You're walking around blind, not knowing how to change the kingdom of God. Forget changing you. This is about changing other people. When you know, you now see that God opens doors. Why? Because you're accessing the gifts that God has given you. And when you remain silent, listen, if Bill doesn't hear the voice of the Lord to go pray, faith, and he prays that prayer of faith, that's what it was. It was a spiritual gift of faith to walk out to a group of people and she's going to be okay. If Haley doesn't say, that woman right there, she needs an encouraging word. Watch, I'm going to move in this. What is that? That's God's gift that he's given to you to use. This is not about making our name great. This is about making the name of Jesus great. You know why Christianity flourished on that island? Because someone, when adversity happened, shook off the snake. You want to point to a lot of things? Here's what it is. If the shipwreck don't happen, so you're trying to avoid what's happening to you, and God says, I want to use it. I want to use it. Listen, Paul told Timothy, don't neglect the spiritual gift you received. Don't neglect it. Can I be real? Because it's what I've been so far. Stop neglecting the gift that God has given you. Instead, he tells them later in the next chapter, stir up that gift. You know what stirring up the gift means? Trying and potentially failing. What does that mean? That means there's some times that you might go over to a woman and say, the Lord is proud of you, and they might laugh at you. It means you might come out into a family and say, she's going to be okay, and they might cuss you out. This is where you find out, are you concerned about people or are you concerned about what the Lord has said? This is where you find this out. When you stir up the gift, that means you're getting out of your comfort zone, and this is where the Lord wants us to live. He wants us to live out of our comfort zone. He wants us to live out on the limb where we're trusting Him. We're trusting Him. And this is difficult. I'm not telling you something that is easy. I'm not telling you something that, oh man, this is going to be real simple. It's going to be hard. As Haley said, you're going to fight this battle that's raging in your mind. And this battle is going to be, they're going to think you're crazy. They already think you're crazy. They're going to think you're weird. They already think you're weird. They're going to think something. But what if what you're speaking could radically change their life? Man, what are we missing out on, you guys? All because you're neglecting. Listen, I get it. You and I, we're busy back and say, you have some crazy schedules, so do I. But can we take a step back and say, maybe God wants to use our schedules to radically change people? Bigger picture. Bigger picture, you guys. You may think that you're at work to do A, but God says, yeah, you are, but also B. You're not just there to punch a timesheet and to get out. You're there because there's a coworker that needs you. Well, how do you know? Because I know that that's how God operates. God uses shipwrecks, and God uses things that are out of our comfort zones to use us so that we can be a light for the people around us. Verse 10 of Acts 28, last thing before the band comes. Guys, come up. And as a result, we were showered with honors. And when the time came to sail, people supplied us with everything we would need for the trip. I've been in some crazy circles, as a lot of you have, when people have been around Christians and they had a different impression. I've been around some church politics stuff. I know this will shock some of you. Where people have been less than nice. We'll leave it at that. Yet it says that when these prisoners from the ship, prisoners, didn't say church folk that have been radically changed by the gospel, prisoners were shipwrecked on an island, that when they got the boat ready and they took off for Rome, that they showered us with honors. And when the time came to sail, everything we needed was supplied. Why? Because they responded to adversity in a totally different way than what they could have. You could have easily read this and said, and they couldn't wait to get rid of us. And they sent us out to sea, glad that we were gone. But it doesn't say that. Guys, how are you leaving people? How are you leaving people? Are they honoring you when you leave? Well, you don't understand. I'm around a lot of sinners and pagans, and they believe weird things. Yeah, so among you, it must be different. So how are you leaving them different? You don't understand. They already have a perception of you if you say you believe in Jesus. They have a perception of you. And I'm sorry to say, it's not very good. It used to be enough that you say, I believe in Jesus, or I go to church, or I follow Christ. Now they go, oh boy. When you leave, how are they responding to you? See, again, every single one of us in this room, we want to have influence. We want to be people that are made for more. But God says, how are you responding to the adversity that's happening to you? And are you viewing it as an opportunity for God to show up? I recognize in this room, if you're sitting next to a person and they're not laughing right now, they were late. Which means they probably didn't get coffee. Anyway. Among you, it must be different. Can I challenge you today? That in whatever relationship that you have that isn't a struggle, I'm asking you to serve that individual. And that's going to look different for so many of you. For some, it could be gathering sticks. For some, it could be saying something nice instead of responding the way you've been responding. For some of you, you might need to add them as a friend again.
For some of you, you can't ignore them. They're not going away. So quit pretending that they are. Among you, it must be different. And my challenge to you is to not have this as your anthem, but to live this out. Because you are who you are, and you were made for more. You were made for more. Will you stand with me today? We're going to sing a simple song. And everybody in this room, you know it. You know this song. And we're going to sing this because I want us to be reminded of this grace that is so amazing. Not just for you to receive, but for you to show. To show. Amen? Let's pray before we sing this. God, I thank you for every man, every woman, every teenager in this room. God, I know that whatever the reason or however they got here, I know that they were made for more than what is going on right now. And God, I pray for those that when we talked about a certain adversity, their mind went to whatever. God, I pray today that they would see that adversity a little different today. I pray that you would help us to see it from your perspective. God, we were made for more. And God, I pray that the people around us will experience this incredible grace. In Jesus' name, amen.